Right, we want to look at the Avas Chesed of the Chofetz Chaim. You have this little booklet. It says Perek Shlishi on it. Mm-hmm. What I'd like you to do is turn to page 94, which would be, I think, the second page in the booklet or so. And it would say Perek Shlishi, Bo Yevu'ar Mitzvat Bikur Cholim. We have it?
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I want to talk to you about tonight is the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And if we get to finish that, we can start the fourth perek, which is a more general overview of the mitzvah of Chesed. Okay then? So he says the following. Atan va'er inyan mitzvat Bikur Cholim. We come to the point where we want to... Is there another copy for Dan? We want to study the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And he says the following. By the way, if anyone else comes in, even though it's not fancy, but we have this copy, you know. I don't know if there are any other copies. All right. He says the following. He, this mitzvah, bichlal, gamke bichlal, it's also included, under gemilut chasadim. In other words, the mitzvah of gemilut chasadim is an overall mitzvah. It's a general mitzvah, and it includes many different details. For example, you go to a wedding and you dance in front of the chosn kal, that's also considered chesed. And of course, if the chosn takes you into the middle, that's also chesed. And if the people going around in circles allow you to get in, even though you're a little bit older than them, they don't step on your feet, that's also chesed. Okay. There's a lot of chesed you can do at a wedding. Wedding is a great opportunity for chesed. In any event, amongst the various mitzvahs that are listed under chesed, in the general rubric of chesed, we have the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. About which Chazal tell us, Ochel Peroso Bolam Hazeh, he'll be rewarded in this world. And HaKeren, what do you think the Keren is? Well, we say he gets the fruits in this world, that reward, but the Keren is Lo Olam Haba. What does Keren mean?
The principle.
Right.
The principle
it means the main
interest.
Right. The principle. So the main schar, the main reward, is left for the world to come. And that indicates how important it is.
How is that different than any other mitzvah? Because it says that the schar mitzvah b'hai al Moleka.
Right.
So you're really not getting the spiritual thing of any mitzvah. Why
right.
Is this different?
But here what you do is you get a lot of reward in this world, which is good, and that's called the peros. But you shouldn't think that just because God rewards you for chesed in this world, which again is an exception to the rule that you mentioned before, Ira, that you therefore forfeit your reward in the world to come. Despite the fact that you are rewarded in this world, you should still rest assured that the main reward is left for you in the world to come. That's the way I would answer your question. Hine, mitzvat bikur cholim, hizhiru aleh chazal mi'ot. It's so easy to let this go by. You know, you heard about someone who's nebuch in the hospital or he's sick in bed at home, and you just go on, you know, about doing what you have to do. It's a real, you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable and complicated to get yourself to do mevaker chol. It's easier just to just go on with life, which is true for any chesed, but it's particularly true for bikur cholim because, you know, when should I go and how should I do it, and I'm uncomfortable and he's uncomfortable at hours, and it's in the hospital. You know, certain hospitals are so mocked about visiting hours. You know, it's a whole. So it's so easy to be tempted to let this pass by. But Chazal put a tremendous emphasis on this mitzvah. Amru b'perek kama d'sota. My d'chsiv, what does it mean when it says, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, that you should follow in the ways of God? And the Gemara asks the famous question, V'chi efshar lo l'adam l'halach achar ha-shechina? I mean, passing in the road of God, like, you know, following God. God is a shechina. And what is the shechina? V'alo k'siv ki Hashem Elokecha eish ochlohi kel kana. That the shechina is a fire. And it consumes, you know. So for a man in his humble state, you know, to follow, you know, on the heels of God, so to speak, you know, to attach himself to the Shekhinah, that can't be taken literally. So what does it mean? Es Hashem Elokeichem Teilech, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilech. So Gemara reinterprets this pasuk. shouldn't be taken literally. Ella, but rather what it means is halach achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to imitate or follow in the path of the attributes, the moral attributes of God. Right, this is the famous principle of imitatio Deo. Have you heard of that? No? That's Latin, fancy Latin for following and imitating God, right? We imitate God. Now, what do we know about God in the moral sphere? HaKadosh Baruch Hu malbish arumim. God clothes the naked, dechsiv, and this goes back to Adam and Chava. Vayas Hashem Elokim lo Adam lo ishto kutnos or vayal bishem. Hashem created for man and woman a cloth that was made out of or of skin, of animal skin, of animal hides, vayal bishem, and he gave it to them and he clothed them. And if that's what God does, then that's the cue for us. Afata, heavy malbish arumin. You should try to make sure to provide clothing. You know, there's a law. Rav Osai, how many of you have heard of Maaser Kesafim? Is that familiar to you?
Myself.
Maaser Kesafim. You know what it is?
Mm-hmm. Tithing your money.
Yeah. To give how much? No. Well, Maserani is sort of built into the cycle, but it only applies on certain years of the cycle. Right? For example, the third year or the sixth year we replace Maser Sheni with Maserani. But what's required, well, again, I don't know what word to use, but the minhag, the accepted custom for most of us, I'm not saying for everybody, but if you accept this custom, is to give one tenth of your profits on an annual basis for tzedakah.
Is that a derabbanan?
It's not even a derabbanan. It's, you know, if I could create a hierarchy, there's doraisa, derabbanan, and minhag. It's like the third level, meaning it's self accepted.
Okay.
Like for example, you may have minhagim that I don't have, and vice versa. Like you do kaparis on Erev Yom Kippur, maybe I don't, or vice versa, whatever it might be. So there's certain minhagim that have to be accepted. One of them is my six sofer. Once you accept that minhag, then it convinces you for the rest of your life. You got to be careful. I don't even know if there's hataris nedar for that. That's a whole thing. But in any event, so what do you do with your money? That's one question. And on the list of priorities in terms of how you divvy out your funds, and this is a sugya that we should study at one point, top on the list is clothing the naked. Notice there are three major needs of a person that have to be addressed in the context of tzedakah. One of them is a roof over the head, the other is food on the table, and the third is clothing. So clothing obviously is very, very important. They say, I don't know if you ever heard about the Rebbe of Zusha. You ever heard of the Rebbe of Zusha? So they say about the Rebbe of Zusha that he didn't have a pair of shoes. And one time, one of the Chassidish Rebbes was talking to his disciples, and they were complaining that they don't, they don't have enough to take care of their needs, and they're not comfortable. So the Rebbe says, "You're complaining. Go see the Rebbe of Zusha." So they took a trip and they went to see the Rebbe Zusha, and when they saw the way he lives, they couldn't believe it. So they came over to him and they said, "Rebbe Zusha, can you tell us, you know, how do you live with all this poverty, with all this deprivation, this suffering?" He says, "What do you mean? I got no problems, everything's fine." He didn't even have a pair of shoes on his feet. So it's interesting, the story goes, the Hasidim asked him, "So what do you do every morning when we get to the bracha of Shalasalikot Tzarki, which Chazal say identify with shoes? In the old days, every time you enjoyed the certain benefit, that's when you made the bracha. Today we recite the bracha in one gulp. It's, you know, we..." So in any event, so Shalasalikot Tzarki, Chazal says for a pair of shoes, you don't have a pair of shoes. He says, "Nay, you don't understand. Shalasalikot Tzarki means God provides your needs, whatever your needs are. God has provided all my needs. I can say Shalasalikot Tzarki." In any event, so this becomes very important to be malbish arumin. That's top on the list. And then the Gemara goes on and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevaker cholim, that God visits the sick. Where do we see that God visits the sick? Who can remember without cheating, without seeing? I'm testing. Oh, all right. You didn't look. Okay, good.
It's my namesake, sorry.
Oh, okay. So it says by Avraham Avinu that after, you know, after his milah, you remember the third day after his milah, he was really suffering. He was 100 years old. Vayera elav Hashem be'elunei mamri kechom hayom yoshev pesachol kol hayom. You know, God comes to visit Avraham Avinu, and this what it means to visit the sick. Achatoy, so you should follow in the footsteps of God. Baker cholim. And we go on. We say, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu Menachem Avelim." Oh, again, you know, this is going to be close to your namesake. It's about your namesake. But Ira, where do we find that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was Menachem Avelim? Do you remember after Avraham Avinu died?
Well, he appears to Yitzchak.
Exactly. He appears to Yitzchak, and Chazal say, "Vayiachrei Mos Avram." Why is it that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that it was immediately after the death of his father that Hashem came to bless Yitzchak? So Chazal say, again, I would never have said it, but they say it, so I can say it, that he came to console, to bereave the grief, you know, the mourners. In this case, the mourner was Yitzchak, and we have to follow. And Afatod Nachem Avelim. You see, Nichem Avelim today became, I call it Mitzvah milimuda, meaning it became like mechanical, only almost robotic. You know, you go to the base of it, you go to the shiva house, and people are schmoozing, and you sit in the back, and then sometimes you move up front, and you go in, and you go out, and it's like it's a knapper mitzvah, you know what I mean? But really, Nichem Avelim on the highest level means that you sit with the Ovel, you wait till the Ovel speaks, you know, you're not supposed to open up, and you're not supposed to speak about anything that's not relevant to the death of the beloved. You know, there's no Hesed Hadassia. The Oval has to be focused. You know, some people come in and they quote the Yankees or the Mets. You know, they tell you what the local scores are. Well, here, I guess, it's soccer, whatever it is. But that's not Nichem Avelim. You know, it's just to make somebody joke and laugh. That Nichem Avelim is a serious mitzvah. You have to learn the halachas and know how to fulfill it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kover Mesim. Wow, that's pretty way out. God is involved in the burial of the dead. Where do we find that?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Excellent. Moshe Rabbeinu. Siv Vayibaro Sobagai, God personally, well, buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Achatok Kvar Mesim. So very high up on the list, after Malbish Arumim, comes Mevaker Cholim. But not only that, says the Chafetz Chaim, we have a special pasuk that commands us in the midst of Bikur Cholim. Bikur Cholim is not just to be placed in this chalent of Bein Adam L'Chaver, of Chesed Gemil. It's special, it's unique. Why? Because the pasuk says, V'odata lahem es haderech asher yelchu ba. You should tell them and teach them the way to go. So the Chachamim in Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Lamed interpret this pasuk in the following way: Es Haderech, what's the road that's indicated here? Zu Gemilus Chasod, that's a general category of Gemilus Chasod, to do good for your friend, whether it means financially helping him, whether it's physically helping him. You lend him utensils if he need them. You give him a loan and extend the loan if you need him. All this is included in the general category of Es HaDerech, which means Gemilus Chasod. But then it says Asher Yelchu, that you should go. So the Derech, meaning the point, the arrow points in a certain road, a certain way of life. That way of life, the Derech HaChaim, is Chesed in general. But Yelchu Ba, going, Zu Bikur Cholim, the Gemara says. And Ba is a reference, is an allusion to Kvura. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Bikur Cholim Hainu Gemilus Chasodin. Why is it necessary to spell out, what word am I looking for? To specify Bikur Cholim, and derive it from the pasuk Asher Yelchu. What, it's already included in Aderech. It's no less, it's not inferior to all the other kinds of chesed. Do you follow the question? In other words, the beginning of the pasuk is referring to chesed in general, and then the next part of the pasuk refers specifically to Bikur Cholim. Why do we need to spell out Bikur Cholim if it's already included in chesed? Lo tzricha beben gilo. Wow. It means that there's one case of Bikur Cholim where, according to the general rules of Chesed, you would be exempt. You would not have to go and be Mevakeh Cholim. Why is that? Because the disease is contagious. And that's what the Gemara says, that in a case of Ben Gilo, there's a special power, we'll see what Ben Gilo means, to bring the Chole out of this state of Machla, and it means you might even theoretically be exposing yourself to contagion, but because you're doing so much for the Chole, you will be protected. What is Ben Gilo? So I know of two interpretations of Ben Gilo, one of which is offered here by the Chofetz Chaim and Avos Chesed. You'll see it in brackets. You see it says, Hainu. Does everybody have that? Shenolad b'mazolo. Does anybody know what that means? Nolad b'mazolo?
It actually doesn't mean what you think it means. It's a spiritual thing. It has nothing to do with the constellations. There's a Gemara that talks about Rabbi Akiva, that maybe you were born into the mazel of Rabbi Akiva. It's talking about something spiritual that people don't really have a handle on. I actually did a whole thing.
Okay. I'm not sure that everyone's going to agree with that.
That's true, but I can show you proups if you want. So I'll bring
it. All right, bring it in, believe me.
But most people say it's constellations.
Yeah.
But there's a thing where it says that, you know, a chacham says something and another chacham says, so maybe you were born under the same mazel. Well, it's not likely you were born under the same constellation as Rabbi Akiva. So it's talking about something, you know, that we weren't at the Har Sinai, our mazel was at Har Sinai. There's a lot of references in the Gemara that mazel is some kind of spiritual koach that influences us, and it's not the constellations. Which,
okay.
I
just want to suggest a second shot that I heard once from the Mashgiach in Beis Medrash LeTalmud, Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, and he suggested that the word gilo here, its source, its root, I should say, the shoresh, might be the word gal, which is a wave. And what he tried to suggest was that Ben Gilo is a person who's willing to literally ride the waves of his friend. And he explained that there are two types of friendships that we're familiar with. There's a friendship which is superficial, and it's limited, it's mechanical to some extent, superficial. And then there's a deeper friendship. The first friendship he used to call, I don't know if you're familiar with this phrase, a fair weather friend. You know, when things are going well and the weather is good, you know, let's go together. Let's go scuba diving in a lot, you know, let's go to a movie, wherever we want it, we're going to go. But a true friend, a genuine friend, and not many of us have so many friends, is a friend who's there when it's good for you and when it's bad for you. You know, the waves go up and the waves come down. And the greatest friendship that you can express, that you could reveal to someone, is when you're there when he's down. When he's down and out and he's going through the most difficult challenges and you're there by his side. And that's what it means to visit someone, for example, in the hospital. And you realize that, you know, people are not flocking to visit this person. You know, you don't have to wait online until your chance, you know, you get your opportunity to go in. There's like no one around sometimes, not always. Because where's the Ben Gilo? Where's the one who's on the same wave that goes up and goes down? That's there when things are going well, and that's there by your side when things are not going well. In any event, that person who fits the category of Ben Gilo, the Gemara says, Notel Echad Mishishim Bicholo. The Chazal guarantee that he will take 1/60th away of this disease. So in other words, the Mevaker, the one who's visiting the sick, is going to take away 1/60th. I mean, that's not good. You don't want 1/60th. But Afilu Haki, nevertheless, Miboile Lemezel Gabe. Somehow he will be granted divine protection and no evil will befall him, because he's going to have a profound impact on the Chole And the Torah therefore says, as a Ben Gilo, you got to go. You can't hide behind the fact, which maybe you can do in other mitzvahs of chesed, that I don't want to expose myself even to 1/60th of the disease. Then the Chafetz Chaim goes on to praise the significance and the centrality of this important mitzvah. He says, mitzvahs bikur cholim ein lo shiur da'ainu afilu gadol etzel katan. Even a person who's very big, you know, he's the chief rabbi, he goes to visit the katan, someone who's not, you know, famous. Va'afilu kama pamim v'yom. And when it says ein lo shiur, it means even to go many times in one day. But of course, if you impose yourself too often on the chola, that's not good. You know, the chola needs his time, his space. You know, you got to use your seichel. You know, they say about Rabbi Shol Salant, the founder of the Musa movement, he said the first rule, the first mitzvah in the Torah is know how to use your seichel. You know? And that's the greatest challenge sometimes. So, Zaynish Kinari used to say, don't be foolish about it. You know, you can't keep bothering the sick, but go in. If you have to go in once, twice, three times a day, even if it's helpful and if it's appreciated. You know, sometimes you go into a hospital, there are nurses all over the place. And yet the chola says to you, thank you so much for coming. I need this, I need that. Where are the nurses? You know, so you ring the bell and everything else, you know, but sometimes the nurses are so preoccupied and sometimes the hospitals are so overcrowded. And there's not enough service, you know, especially today where the people in the hospitals are not paid what they should be paid. So you're coming, and then you bring over the nurse or the doctor when your friend is not feeling well. I mean, that's a great, great act of chesed. Hakrovim v'chaverim nichnasim miyad. Immediately when the person falls ill, those who are close, like relatives and friends, they can go in immediately. Varachokim, but those who, although they're acquaintances, but they're not close friends, achar gimel yom. Now, obviously, my friends, when it says to wait 3 days, we're not talking about someone who has a bad cold, or even who someone who has what's that called when you, in Hebrew they call it angina, what's it called? Strep, right? Somebody has strep. Okay, you're going to wait 3 days and hopefully the antibiotics kick in, the guy's back in his work, so you haven't gained anything by waiting 3 days. But we're talking about a more serious illness, like something for which you have to be hospitalized, Rahman al-Utslan. Why should you wait 3 days? Ki hechi do litre mazle. Because sometimes if you come in too early, it may put him into, you know, into a strange mood. You know, why are they visiting me so quickly, so urgently? Like, do they think I'm about to expire? I'm about to die? V'im kafatz alav choli, but if taki is in that advanced stage, then elu v'elu nichnasim miyad, everyone should go in. Because we're in a desperate situation. Kishacholes shochev ala oretz, if the sick person is lying on a low plane, close to the ground, it's not proper for the person who's visiting him to be raised above him. Why? It's like he's raising himself above the Shechina. And in effect, we want him to be Shavu B'Shavu, sort of like on the same plane, on the same line, I guess you'd call it the same horizontal line as the Chole. But if he's all the way on the bottom, let's say, you know, they have these low beds that are close to the ground, mutar, then you're allowed because you don't have to stand the whole time. And by definition, wherever you sit, you're going to be above the chola. Oh, the Isa b'Shulchan Aruch, we paskin b'Shulchan Aruch, ein mevakrin, we don't visit lo chole me'ayim, people who have stomach disorders, you know, intestinal disorders, mishum kisufa. Anybody know what that word kisufa means?
Imagine like a storm.
What do you say?
Like a storm. Kisufa.
Kisufa is an Aramaic word for humiliation, for embarrassment. Busha.
Well, namadi kisufa.
Like namadi kisufa, correct. Because if the man is suffering from stomach disorders, it could be a very embarrassing situation. I don't even have to go into detail. The lolacholi ayin, you know, people who are suffering from eye headaches, that's all they need is for someone to walk in and start screaming, you know. It's, So they need quiet, they really need absolute silent rest. The Lola Choli Rush, if some, I don't know if you know anyone who has a migraine who suffers from, it's a terrible thing. I broke Shem, that's one ailment that God spared me of, but I see people around me who have migraines, it's terrible. And if you go in there, it's not gonna be appropriate. Yeah, so Shadiva Kosher.
They need absolute quiet and darkness.
Darkness too, right. Some of them I noticed, I don't know if you saw, is this just a Bubba Misa, but they wrap their heads in towels, I think in cold towels.
There's a whole spectrum of different headaches. There's cluster headaches, there's tension headaches. One of the treatments for migraines now is they inject in certain muscles of the neck botulism toxin.
Oh.
Botox.
Wow. Does it help you for your, to take away some of the creases?
It might get wrinkles in the back, but what it does is it doesn't allow the spasm of the muscle because it paralyzes. I mean, it's not obviously the dose that's going to paralyze the patient, but it's almost a precursor to a stroke, migraines. It's a serious illness.
But did you ever hear the story about a cold, you know, compressants or talc?
Not personally, but I think that it can work in that way that I told you.
Oh.
It can relax certain muscles that are causing the blood vessels to constrict.
So it might be meaningful.
It might be meaningful.
But he says, Adiba Kosher him. You know, they need silence, like you said.
Yeah, well, yeah.
For l'chol kola, there are other cases of illness, Adiba Kosher. I don't know, can you think of any other cases?
Not offhand.
He says, Ein mevaker also befanov. Now, it doesn't mean that you're completely alleviated from the mitzvah. There are different parts of the mitzvah, Biker Kolim. So you can't go in front of him because you're going to speak to him. That's going to be, detrimental. But at least come to visit him in the outer chambers, v'sholim v'darshim bo, and ask about him. In tzrichim l'chabed l'ravik, the fun of, does he need someone to help with the garbage, you know, clean up and tidy up the place?
By the way, in the time of the Chafetz Chaim, they didn't use hospitals the way we do today. And part of Bikur Cholim always was the Cholim was home. They didn't have nurses coming in and out. So when you went Bikur Cholim, you can at least get them food, you can help
clean
them
up.
There were things that they needed to do.
Because there were no nurses.
Part of, now everybody goes to the hospital, and the main thing of Bikur Cholim is psychological and spiritual. Right. But there was also the physical aspect in time, with the Chafetz Chaim.
But I want to point out, Ira, that there's another aspect of Bikur Cholim that is in the next few words. And that applies even in hospitals today, I think.
No, I just said, it's psychological. You make them feel better. You care about them.
Right. But that's why I want to point out that there's another element here in Bikur Cholim that should not be underestimated. And I don't think you've mentioned it, and it's important even for hospital visits. Listen to what he says here. I would underline these words. V'shomin tzaro u'mevakshim olavrach. In a word, tefillah.
That was the story in the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva. Nobody was. He had a Talmud.
Yeah, but that was about cleaning. No, it was about tefillah also.
But he went to.
When he went out, he was
misal. He saved my life.
No, that's because I think nobody cleaned up for him, no?
Well,
if I remember, Martin Dove
he felt
man.
That nobody cared. I mean, it's not clear in the Gemara.
Right. But I'm just saying, he's adding another element here. And I saw once a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein says, if you can't come to visit the Chola, at least pick up a phone. Why pick up a phone?
I think Moshe Feinstein holds you can do Bikur Cholim by telephone if you can't. Let's say you have a...
Right, but listen carefully. I just want to add a point that Moshe makes there. He says, why is it important to pick up a phone, not just to speak to the Chola if you can, but also to find out how ill he is so that you could be mispala for him? And the Ramban has an essay which is called Torah Sa'adam, which he has a whole discussion about Bikur Cholim. And in that essay he writes that if you were Mavakar Sa'chola, V'lo Bikesh Olav Rachmim, and you did not pray on his behalf, Lo Kiyim, Lo Yotzi Dechobos. It means that tefillah is an essential part of Bikur Cholim. He spells it out here too. He's paraphrasing the Ramban. V'im Bikesh, he visited v'lo Bikesh, but he did not ask Hashem for help, for divine help. Lo Kiyim HaMitzvah Kiddin. He did not fulfill the Mitzvah Kiddin. And by the way, that's part of the reason why Rav Moshe Tshuva says that Bikur Cholim on the telephone is a last-ditch effort. It's a really fallback position, because if you go visit the Chola himself, it makes such a dramatic impact on you that your tefillah will be radically different. You know, just you know, reading something or hearing something, you know, read off, you know, his records that are read and all that, that's not going to do it for you. If you see the chola, again, we're not talking about the other aspect that you said, Ira, that's obviously primary here, that you have to, you know, you realize that the chola is lonely, he's alienated, he's depressed, and he's bitzar, and you alleviate that tzar. But in addition, you have to be impacted as well. You have to walk out of there ready for the charge to be Mrs. Powell.
So can you fulfill that via Skype? You should ask for Moshe.
Right.
Do you do see?
Right. I think yes, but not 100%. You know, I think it's on the way. For sure it's better than a phone call.
Yeah.
And you know, once we're on the topic of tefillah, I don't know if Arbosa, you got that email about, you know, picking up the name of a chayal. You know, you got that?
Elif Lamat.
So if you get that, you know, it makes your tefillos more meaningful if you can do that. Early in the day, the first 3 hours of the morning, the chol is in tip-top shape. You know, he looks great. It's like whenever I go to a doctor, I always feel like an idiot. Like, you know, last night I was in a horrible situation. Now, first off, who are you fooling here? You look great. You know what I'm saying? That's the most embarrassing thing for me about visiting a, you know, and then you're hoping that the doctor's going to find something. You know, you're actually happy when he finds that you're sick. You know, it justifies
it. Depends what they find.
Right. But at least they find something, you know. So the first 3 hours of the day, he says in the hours of the morning, that's when a person is in his, so to speak, his best health. You know, you come in. So it's not going to have such an impact on the visitor that he's going to sincerely pour out his heart for God. But at the end of the day, you go in there. That's the worst time for the chol. He's weakest. And the visitor is going to be Mesiyash Milavakish. He's going to despair. He's going to think that, oh no, you know, he's gone. You know, he's a goner. There's no point to daf. So that's what he says. The best is to visit the chola in the middle of the day. I remember in one of the tshuva drushes that I heard from the Rav, he starts describing visiting his wife, you know, in the hospital during those last weeks of her life. And he describes, it's unbelievable, in front of 2,000 people, he's describing how he came home from the hospital and he literally fell down on the floor in front of his bed, you know, with his knees on the ground, and he was begging Hashem for mercy. It's like such a pathetic situation, but this is what it means to be mispalel, you know, for someone you really feel emotionally impacted. In parentheses here, he says, by the way, when you say 3 hours, it doesn't mean on the clock, it means shows manios. The ilav hachi yom shu katsa vishay shows yivuta legamri mitzvah, yivata legamri. You know, in the winter months, in certain parts of the world at least, you might have a daylight which is 6 hours. So if you're going to count the 6 hours of daylight, you know, and you can say, well, the first 3 hours of daylight and the last 3 hours of day, so that you exclude those, then you'll never have any opportunity to be mevaker chol. V'yu otzli darko. But if a person is very pressured because of his workload, and therefore he cannot possibly come to be mevaker chol in the middle of the day, you know, he's preoccupied in the middle of the day. Ukshalo yevaker bielu azmanim lo yevaker klal. The alternative, if he observes this law, he'll never get around to visit the sick.
Well, if that's when they have visiting hours, they won't let him in any other time.
Oh, so that's something else, you know. If you're saying that the only visiting hours are early in the morning or
sometimes,
late at night.
Sometimes they have it in the late afternoon, someplace.
Yeah.
That's what.
Last 3 hours of the day, but say. Because usually what I found, I remember when my wife gave birth and so on, they usually, at night, they don't, you know, only in certain cases.
At night they don't, as you know. In the late afternoon is usually when I think most places have it, at least in the hospitals.
Right, so late afternoon, I would think, is probably still within the bounds of when there's Bikur Cholim. Well, let's say, for example, within those bounds of Bikur Cholim, he's just out there, you know, wherever he is. And he can't get free. So the only alternative is that he doesn't visit the sick at all. Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is his own chiddush. He says, Nira, it appears to me, she tov yoseh sheyivak al kol ponav elazman. It's better, it's the least of all evils, if he goes early in the morning or late at night, mishiyivat, because the alternative is he won't fulfill this mitzvah at all. So rather than yivat the mitzvah entirely, we look aside and we say, you know, we're going to give you a special horas shah, a special horas heta, that you can go in early in the morning or late at night. Ki ulei yoilo bikuro, because maybe his bikur, his visit, will be very crucial for the sick. Liyezid var dover lerfua, maybe he can bring, you know, refua, let's say he has access to certain medicines that otherwise the cholo wouldn't have access to. Or alternatively, lechabed ulerave tzlefonav, to clean the place. This is the story about Rabbi Akiva. Or alternatively, the third element here, which is levakish rachamim, that if he is special in his power of prayer, then the chol is best interest, even though it's early in the morning and late at night, to allow this person to come in and go out and be mevakish rachamim. And we'll see exactly some of the details about Bakoshes Rachamim in just a minute. Fine. Now, I wanted to tell you a story here. Do you like stories? I don't know if I ever told you the story. Some of you have been with me for almost a year, and so you've heard all my stories. I have to come up with new ones. But I don't have time to research them. So if anybody has access on the computer, you know, to send me through Google stories or jokes or something, please send them to me. Now that I have to find the time to read them, that's another problem. But anyway, the story that my father tells, my father was the chaplain in the Coney Island Hospital. You heard this from me, Ira. For many, many decades. And
I lived in the Coney Island Hospital. My father, Oliver Shaw, passed away in the Coney Island
Hospital. Oh, well, I almost died also in the Coney Island Hospital. That's a story I can tell you about this hand on Vladimir Omer. But anyway, Yeshiva Rambam story. But what I wanted to tell you was that my father once showed up at a convention of chaplains, Jewish chaplains. And when they had a break in the middle of the various plenum sessions, he was schmoozing with one of his colleagues, and he said to him, "Tell me, do you sometimes get depressed, you know, seeing cholim, and sometimes, especially if you see the motorcycle accidents, you know?" He says, "Do you get depressed?" So this friend of my father's turns back to my father and says, "Yes, but you know what I do when I get depressed? I walk over to the closest nursing station, and I give her a name and tell me where this patient is located, on what floor. And when she tells me we don't have such a hole in this hospital, that's when I feel good, because I gave her my own name." So, you know, on the one hand, we have to find the balance. We have to certainly identify with the hole and his pain. But on the other hand, we have to maintain some distance and some emotional protection, that Baruch Hashem, we're healthy and we can function. And thank God for that. So we still have to keep up a good spirit. And truth be told, if you're despairing, I don't know if your visit is going to help the cholim. That's why if you come in, you know, you're all white because in the face because you think the cholim is about to drop dead. You know, that's not a good time to visit the cholim. You might actually bring about his death. Now he says, Yochel avakish b'chol loshen sheyirtze. Even though you're allowed to come up with your own formulation of bakoshas rachamim, that is, you don't have to follow the standard text. Because he's really standing in front of the Shekhinah and requesting, petitioning for the health of this individual, because he's near the Cholah. If the Shekhinah is not right there in close proximity because he went home and he's davening from his house or a shul, Oz malachi asharis niskakim lahalos tfiloso the ena makir b'shar halashonos. So the first question is, should you be davening in any language that you feel comfortable in, your own vernacular or whatever, or should you be davka praying in Lashon HaKodesh? And I think we're going to be able to derive from this principle that we're seeing here a rule that goes way beyond the confines of Bikur Cholim. He says that if you're not standing right in front of the Shekhinah, you're not in front of the Cholah, then you have to rely on the malachim to give an extra push to your tefillah. And that can only happen if you pray in Lashon HaKodesh.
If you're in a minyan, doesn't a minyan necessarily halachically have the Shekhinah there?
Yes.
But a minyan, you'd be allowed to daven in
any language.
Any language.
Any language. Now, so the first rule is, again, not in all situations, but we prefer that you daven in Lashon Kodesh. The second rule, and this is very important, I would even underline this, he says, V'yichol also b'toch Chol Yisrael. It's not enough to pray for this individual. Like, you know, you give for Misha Berek, you give his name, his mother's name. That's not good enough. He says you have to add in the formula B'toch Shar Chol Yisrael. You know, we're most familiar with this with regard to Nichma Veli, right? Hamok Yenachem Eskel B'toch Shar Veli Tzimshal. But it really applies throughout.
You say Misha Berek for Chol Yisrael also put B'toch Shar Chol Yisrael.
Right. But what? Why is this so important? He says Shemitoch Kach Nishmas Tfilos Yosef. Somehow, when you include the individual within the tzibur, which is in the community, your prayers are more powerful. And this I find absolutely fascinating. I once saw a pshat, you know, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos were always answered except at the end of his life, but not only Hashem afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael. Some say because he was praying for himself. As long as he's praying for the tzibur, for the klal, his tefillah was effective. It was powerful.
Obviously, there's a midrash that if he prayed one more time, then he would have gotten in. He prayed a certain number of times.
Right, yeah, the certain number, 552, whatever number it is. But I'm just pointing out here that somehow the power of the tzibur, my Rebbe used to always say that Ashamnu on Yom Kippur, we sing. Again, I don't think it's a very catchy tune, but anyway. Ashamnu, Bogadnu, goes on. What are we singing about our sins for? It doesn't make any sense. So the Rav says that the power of Yom Kippur is especially intense with regard to the tzibur. When the tzibur comes and they, so to speak, demand kaviyot, they have a right in inverted commas to demand kapar and atonement. That's a very powerful thing. We are so guaranteed, we're so convinced and secure that we will get kapar and Yom Kippur and that we can sing it. And that's why it's so critical when you pray for the Chol, you're praying for all Chol Yisrael. That means for the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael. V'yomar, and he should recite the following formula. Hamokom Yerachem Olecha B'soch Chole Yisrael. Now I'm a little bit confused here because he says Olecha in first person. I don't know if this should be taken literally. Again, I would have been happier if the text, and I don't have a more advanced, I know this has been republished, I have the original, but I would have been happier if we would have said Hamokom Yerachem Olav, meaning for Ploni Almoni, Ploni Ben Almonis, B'toch Chol Yisrael. So I don't know what Olecha means, because I don't think that the Chole should be listening to your prayers. You know, that could freak them out as well. Now, what do we do on Shabbos? Here's an interesting conflict situation. We don't have Tchina on Shabbos. Shabbos is not an appropriate day to be mitztayer and to petition God with a lashon of Tachanunim. So how do you balance that with the fact that there's a Chole and you want to pray on behalf of the Chole? He says, if a Shabbos Yomar, Shabbati milizok urefua krova lava v'rachmav merubim v'shivto b'shol. In other words, what you're basically saying is that Shabbos means we have to desist, you know, we have to rest, we have to withdraw from za'aka, so that we certainly know that, but we also have absolute confidence that refuah krova lava, because we rely on the great compassion of Hashem. And the Shabbos should bring about peace, not only in our lives, but certainly as well in the life of the Chol. So there's something about the Shabbos itself, I think, that has the power to bring about refuah. V'isa v'gemara kol mavakar sacholeh. How great is this mitzvah bikur cholim that needs all midina shal gehenna? This itself could single-handedly could protect him from the ultimate justice and judgment in the gehenna. Shenemar ashrei maskil eldol. David HaMelech praises how fortunate is the maskil eldol. I'll come back to these three words in just a second. And therefore, he's so fortunate, this maskil eldol, that biyom ra, on the bad day, which means the ultimate day of judgment after we die, yivleteu Hashem, God will protect. Okay. So what does maskil eldol mean? So the Chofetz Chaim tells you what the word dol means. Dol usually means the destitute. He says, "V'ein dal el cholim." A person is considered poor in poor health. He's the cholim. And the Gemara quotes Psukim to prove that. And the ra that he'll be protected from is called, is the same as Gehenim Shemar Kol Kol Hashem L'maneu V'gam Rosh L'yom Ra'ah, period. But what does maskil mean? You know, the root of the word is what? Seichel. But what does it mean maskil el dol? So I'd like to suggest the following. We have two words in English, sympathy and empathy. Sympathy means when, you know what, I feel sympathetic, you know, my heart goes out for you, but we're still sort of distanced one. Empathy is when I actually relate and identify with your suffering, as if it was my suffering. That's called empathy. In modern Hebrew, maybe you say hizdahut, you know, where I literally identify, put myself into your shoes. You know the famous story about it's been told 1,001 times about the Tzaddik Yerushalmi, about Rabbi Levin, that he came to the doctor with his wife, his foot was ill, he said, "Our foot hurts." So that's empathy. That's what we call maskil. Maskil doesn't mean that, you know, I look from a distance and I see you suffering and you're a sick person. Maskil means I identify. It's an intellectual knowledge. It's kind of like a idea. I put myself into your feet, into your shoes. I feel your pain. That's what we spoke about at Ben Gilo before, that he rides the waves with him up and ever down, but he's always there to be there with him because he identifies with his suffering. This is something that's more typical of family members. You know, never can you see a mother sitting with her child who's ill, desperately ill, with a high fever. You know, you can see the mother is beside herself. I mean, she's in depression and so forth and so on. But in effect, what maskil el dol means is even if we break out of the very narrow, limited family circle, we still have maskil el dol where we can identify with the suffering of another Jew. I once heard from Rav Soloveitchik that the problem of Eov, and he proved it in the Psukim, was that even though Eov was a good guy and he gave tzedakah, he was a community leader who supported the people, he was a very wealthy individual, so he gave his tzedakah money, and even davened for people. But the Rav said he never got to the level of identifying with the suffering of others. He was always a little bit removed from it. And the entire process of Eov's redemption and catharsis is because he learned how to feel the pain of another Jew. And as opposed to the general rule that you pointed out, that Tzchar is left for the next world, but here, in this case of Bikur Cholim, he'll be granted Tzchar in this world, again, without undermining his Tzchar for the next world. For whom are the cause of the safe of the crowd? In that same pasuk at the end, it says, Hashem Yishmereu v'yichayehu Yerushar Ba'aretz. And the word Ba'aretz here is a reference to this world. And Yishmereu means God will protect him from the Yetzer Hara. It's interesting. We talk about divine protection against physical challenges and dangers. Here we're talking about God providing Shmira against the Yetzer Hara. It's almost as if the Yetzer Hara, you know, was given the green light to work on its own, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling him back. And he's limiting him. He's saying, I can't stop. And we all have the Yetzer Hara, we always will have one. But in the case of someone who's Mevaker Chol, Hashem says to the Yetzer Hara, don't go too far here. And therefore that makes the choice decision, the free choice of an individual, that much easier to choose the good of Bachata Bachayim, because the Yetzer Hara is not overpowering him. And furthermore, it doesn't say only say Yishmereu in the pasuk; it says V'yichayehu, and that's a reference to the physical elements of this life. Min ha'yisurin Yehusha ba'aretz Shehu akol miskavnim bo, that everyone will put him up on high as the paradigm of a good person, and that will encourage him further. It's not that he needs, you know, we should never do good things because we want to get approval from others, but the approval sometimes will give us strength, because we want to go on and do even more good things, and that's going to be the reward in this world. And now the Chofetz Chaim gives us the dark side of it, the flip side of it. What happens if someone is lazy, and he doesn't fulfill the obligation of Bikur Chol. Ulehepach. And just the opposite, the flip side, Kamagodol Ha'ovon, how severe is the sin of Misham is Atzel Mimitzvizu. If he pushes it off, he delays, he's lazy, he's laid back. The Isa of Gemara, that story that is the Gemara Nedarim, that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva got sick, and the Talmidim were negligent that they didn't come in. Now we're on page 96, I think it should say, correct? So it says, V'lo nichnesu chachomim levakro. None of these scholars and none of the students came in to be mevaker. And then v'nichnas Rabbi Akiva levakro. Now when Rabbi Akiva walked in, all of a sudden, you know, everybody salutes, you know, and they bishvil in honor of Rabbi Akiva. What happened? Kibed v'ribeitz lefanov. They took care of all of his needs. They cleaned out the place. And after that, I have in my text ches hey. Do you have that? I think it should say v'chaya or something like that. I'm not sure. I don't have the Gemara in front of me. We could take it out. But I think there's some sort of letter or something missing here. Amalei Rebbe. The Talmud turns to Rabbi Akiva with great gusto and feeling. He says, Hechisani, you're responsible for saving my life. Yotza Rabbi Akiva v'dorash. When Rabbi Akiva had that experience, he went out and he taught, Kol Misha Eino Mevaker Chola, if he has the ability to visit the sick and he doesn't do so, is Ki'ilu Shofech Domin. It's as if he caused the death of his friend. And why is that so? When people come in to visit the sick, is osim lechola kol tzarchov. Then all the needs of the chola attended to. V'shema yodel o refuah. And perhaps this visitor knows, he has an intelligent comment to make. And, you know, and sometimes the physicians might miss it. That's not a. I'm not being negative about it, but it could be. He may have access to something which could help the chola. Shall yideze yosim es nafsho. He can return the soul or the life to the chola. Senor Rabim, he says, ha'olam ekilu b'mitzvizu shel bikur chol. The Chofetz Chaim testifies to the fact that people are not as careful about this mitzvah nevach as they should be. Ubefrat, and especially a machola who oni, if he's a poor person, you know, he's not from the great chashuvei av, you know, he's not one of the presidents of the shul. V'lo yadati tamam, and I'm trying to explain and justify why this is so. Imishum chiyuva, if it's because of the obligation, halo bevade achiyuv hu afil biyoshiv v'kolshkin bioni. They cannot be negligent to fulfill their obligation, in not only in the case of an asher, a rich person, but how much more so in the case of an ani? Why? Because ksha'ani chole, because typically, he says, when a person, you know, is from the lower financial echelon of society, who comes to visit him? Nobody wants to waste their time with him. He's not going to help me in life. Ein adam bo levakro, he's so alienated and lonely. And Yochel Leal Shiyadover Zeno Gelo Pikuch Nefesh Mamish, the man could be heartbroken out of depression because he's so isolated, nobody's coming to visit him. Kalpirov English Kazem Mazon Aroilo, and furthermore, very often, if you look in the cupboards of this man's kitchen, you won't find much there. And he's going to die if he's sick because he doesn't have the right food. Lefi Machloso, because of the severity of his illness. He may not even have the ability to pay the doctor's bills. No, we're not talking about a socialist society, but he might not even have the strength and the ability to call in a doctor and pay the doctor. He doesn't have the wherewithal to do so. You know, drugs. Medicinal drugs are very expensive sometimes. I mean, I know a member of my family pays, I think, $2,000 a month for a certain drug to keep his lungs going. during the winter months, Shachkor Chazak, Magil and Nafsho Hanidka, said it penetrates into his heart, into his soul, which is in depression. So you have so many factors that kick in here and join forces. There are also Shushokhiv Alaris Tvai, Zekami Yomim, when he sees in a state of isolation that no one is coming to visit him, and he's on his sickbed, and days have passed by, no one's opening the door of Fakechalov Lach Yoso. You know, I really think that the Chafetz Chaim could have been a novelist. He's so poetic.
He's describing how it was in Poland in the early 20th century.
Right.
Nobody took care of you. I mean, it's very different now. People still need it, but it was much worse then.
Right. He says, "Kol elu advar machlishim es kochos nafsho." Just so, I find it so like he touches your heart because he describes the pathetic situation here. Machzikim es machlos. So all these factors make burden and intensify his illness, and it could be that this will cause his death. Manarich es ha'inyan anora. How terrible! We can't even describe it. On these kind of things, if we don't fulfill our responsibility, we need a serious vidui, he says. And he quotes the pasuk that refers to the Egla Rufi. You remember the case where they find the dead body between two cities, and this Canaan, the elders of the city, are called upon to recite during the ceremony of the Egla Rufa, Yodenu lo shafkas adam hazeh, that we were not responsible for the blood that was spilled. And Chazal interpret this in the Gemara and Sota, that what was involved here, that it wasn't someone who came into the town as a visitor, as a guest, and we didn't provide him with food. It's as if we caused his death, because it could be in fact that the reason he died is because we didn't send him out with an ample supply of food. The Kolshkein Bazen, how much more so if we apply the logic of the Gemara in this case, in the scenario of a Chola, Shuhukvar Chola. We know he's a Chola. You know, the guy who comes into the city, hopefully he has supplies, he's carrying a knapsack on his back, or he has money to buy supplies on the way. And yet we're responsible for this, if we were negligent. But how much more so in the case of a Chola, he's already a Chola. Umalimim ayimim, and when we look the other way, and as a result his death comes nearer, for sure this is a terrible sin. It's too cumbersome for us to bear. You know, we can't even bear the weight of this sin. Valzenu chaloma maimar gemara. The Gemara says in Ksubas kala malim alim ayim and etzaki kilu oved avodas kachovim. The Gemara says that if you don't do tzedek, if you don't give funds to a person who's in need, it's equivalent to worshiping an idol. The Gemara quotes a pasuk for that. And why is that so? The Yitzhar gets very powerful and seduces him to take a laid back attitude. Basically, he doesn't want to go into the house of the sick person who's poor. So he doesn't know anything. Had he gone in there, if his heart, he would have to empathize with the ill person, and he would definitely do what has to be done. But a person doesn't realize that his own life is in the balance, because if he doesn't visit the sick, then the punishments that are going to be meted out to him are really equal to a death sentence for himself, because he's going to be treated as someone who worshipped an idol. If a person visits the sick, in this case a poor person who's sick in bed, and you give him an eitzah, you give him a piece of advice, this is what you should do, and he gives him strength, we're with you, we miss you, we hope that you'll be well, shelo yipo libo olav, so that his heart will not break from sadness and despair. Kavagadol scharo, we can't even describe how great his reward will be avor zeh for this. Meis Hashem yisro ki hu, ki afilu avor mitzvah biker levad, rei mashom chazal v'gol scharo. Even for a regular classical biker chol, not for the case of visiting someone who's in such dire straits, he's depressed because no one's coming to see him, he's a poor person. Kol Shekein was that much more so in this case. Shemekayim Ganke Mitzvah Tzedakah Upikuach Nefesh. He's literally saving a person's life. He helps him out financially if he needs drugs and so forth, or food. Mefaiso, and he strengthens his heart. Umichuko Bidvarim. Again, there's something missing here. Bekama Vekamen Yonim Gidolim. Mechazko, it should be. Oh, okay. I figured it out finally. There's a Zion missing here. I don't know if it should be yours too, because yours is from mine. So, Mechazko Bidvarim, he strengthens him with words in many different areas. Is Yisbarech, he will be blessed. Avur Zemeis Hashem Yisbarech. And the Chazal tell us in Baba Basra Daf Yud Mefayes Li'oni, if a person strengthens the heart of a poor person, Yisbarech Yud Al Brachos, he will be bestowed 11 Brachos. Uba Emes Kfar Nog Kem Bekama Kilos Kedosos. He says it's a very holy minhag in certain communities. Sheyesh Lam Chabura Chevras Biker Chol. You know, we know about the Chevra Kadisha that buries the dead, and the Chevra Shas that learns Shas. But what about the Chevras Biker Chol? And we tried to institute such a thing here, and Mrs. Wilson took it on, if you know, that she sends out notices if people are sick or people need help. And they are in charge of making sure that these sick people are tended to for their both medical needs and their food and everything else. Even though we find it in certain holy communities, this should be standard for every community. It's a matter of saving lives. Vamalim oz ayin nize over a lo samad al tamriya. So if we're not careful about setting up these organizations, we might actually be violating the law of standing idly by when someone is dying. The Ashrei Mishi Yosim Libo, you should know that the Chofetz Chaim is unusually long here. He's really, he's on a campaign here. Ashrei Mishi Yosim Libo V'dayto L'cholim HaNikoyim HaElu. How blessed is a person, how fortunate he is, if he puts his eyes and his thoughts to these very despondent people, desperate people, and therefore he's Ashrei Maskel Dal. The Omer Yom Blent Hashem Vidal, who chole, and he repeats himself what we saw before. Okay, I think we'll stop here. It's a good place to stop. And there's a little bit more here on Bikur Chol that takes us to the left page, but I think it'll be more conducive if we do this next week in a separate sheet. So Yiratzon, let's end with a tefillah. Hashem should spare us from all choli, that we should be able to stand up and enthusiastically look for these opportunities, and even if we have to overcome our difficulties in doing these mitzvahs, it's a tremendous mitzvah. We should be zocha through this mitzvah that Hashem should have compassion on Klal Yisrael, especially in these trying times. Kei Yiratzon. Amen. Okay, thank you everyone for coming.